Our next case this morning is number 051689, Thelma L. Anderson against Joanne Barnett, the Commissioner of Social Security. Mr. Mulvaney.
May it please the court, good morning. My name is Patrick Mulvaney. I represent Thelma Anderson.
Mr. Mulvaney, may I suggest that you might want to raise your voice a bit? The microphones record, but they're not terribly good at amplification.
I represent Thelma Anderson, who is appealing her denial of Social Security disability benefits application. This is an appeal from the Southern District of Indiana, which affirmed the commissioner. We raise three areas of error committed by the ALJ. First, the ALJ failed to find that she met the requirements for listing 1205C. She has mild mental retardation with an additional mental and physical impairment. The ALJ failed to comply with Social Security Ruling 96-7P concerning the credibility of her complaints and non-exertional impairments of pain. And thirdly, the ALJ's erroneous determination at the Step 4 level that she could perform her previous work as a hotel maid. We believe the 1205C error involves four specific problems. First, the ALJ said there was no evidence of any mental retardation in the record, but plainly, two psychologists evaluated her, and both of them said that the scores indicated that she had mild mental retardation. Dr. Henry did not formulate this into a formal DSM-4 diagnosis, but Dr. Martin did. He diagnosed her as having mild mental retardation. The ALJ said that there were no deficits in adaptive functioning. Then he says, other than deficits in reading, writing, and arithmetic. Now, those do constitute adaptive functioning areas, and he admits that that she does have deficits in those areas, so we think that he did find that she would therefore meet listing 1205C. The ALJ also said that she had no deficits at all in any other areas of adaptive functioning, but the evidence shows quite clearly that she had 27 deficits in adaptive functioning, which he just disregarded.
How do we deal with the evidence that indicates that her problems were not long-term in nature and that she was, exaggerating her claims of impairment?
Well, Your Honor, the evidence shows that she failed the first grade, had to repeat it. We think that mental deficiencies began to evidence themselves at that early age, and they continued on through the rest until the date of the hearing. I mean, she continued to have problems. She never did learn how to read, write, or do math. She's never been able to go to the grocery store by herself. Someone's always had to go with her. She gets lost because she can't read street signs. She can't get a driver's license. These are matters that have been going on her whole life in the normal course of human existence. And I don't think that there is any evidence of her exaggerating these deficits in adaptive functioning. They were found to be true by two psychologists on examination. Now, the ALJ found inconsistently that there was no mental retardation, but he also found and acknowledged that she was in special education in grade school, that she went as far as the eighth or ninth grade in school and then stopped. You can't get into special education under her circumstances unless you show mild mental retardation.
But an IQ score between
60 and 70
isn't sufficient in the requirement of listing
1205, is it? Well, the listing says under 1205 says you have to have mental retardation, which we have two psychologists saying she does, with deficits in adaptive functioning. We've shown at least 27 deficits in adaptive functioning. Initially manifested during the developmental period before age 22. We've shown that with special education and having to repeat the first grade. And then it says the required level of severity for this disorder is met when the requirements, in this case, in C, are satisfied. And C says a valid verbal performance or full-scale IQ of 60 through 70 and a physical or other mental impairment imposing significant limitation in functioning. Now, therefore, IQs between 60 and 70 are part of the test for mental retardation. We have contended also that the ALJ ignored evidence which would support the 1205C listing, such as the 27 deficits in adaptive functioning. She has a number of items of evidence that shows she has physical impairment in her left leg and in her back, which limits her ability to function. The ALJ engaged in selective consideration of the evidence, whereby he would cite an item of evidence, but then ignore all the parts of that evidence that would support a finding of disability, and that way mischaracterized the evidence. He rejected evidence without any explanation. He threw out Dr. Martin's much more complete, much more recent, much more precise psychological evaluation in favor of Dr. Henry's exam, where he, like, for example, Dr. Martin performed 8 evaluations, Dr. Henry performed 1. Dr. Martin came up with 2 diagnoses of mild mental retardation and mixed specific mental developmental disorder in reading, much more severe than just mild mental retardation. Dr. Henry didn't come up with any diagnosis. The ALJ kind of came up with his own diagnosis of borderline intellectual functioning. Now, you search the record, you don't find any evaluation saying that. He did find it, though, from one state agency physician. So he threw out 2 examining doctors' diagnoses of mild mental retardation in favor of a state agency finding a borderline, which is directly contrary to this court's case in Gudgell against Barnhart. The ALJ failed to give proper weight to the findings of the examining psychologists. Under credibility, we believe he erred because... Now I'm into my rebuttal. I see my time has expired, Your Honor. Thank you.
You have some time left for rebuttal, but you are into your rebuttal time.
Well, I'd like to reserve some for rebuttal. Thank you, Judge. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mulvaney. We'll hear now from Ms. Moore.
May it please the Court, my name is Erie Moore, and I'm also here this morning on behalf of the Commissioner of Social Security. Contrary to plaintiff's assertions, substantial evidence supports the ALJ's findings that Ms. Anderson's impairments did not meet or equal Listing 1205, that these impairments restricted her to light work, that did not require more than minimal reading, writing, and arithmetic, and that, given this residual functional capacity, she was capable of performing her past work as a hotel maid. Plaintiff first challenges the ALJ's conclusion that she did not meet Listing 1205 for mental retardation. Plaintiff has slightly misrepresented the record here. He bases his entire argument on 2 reports from 2 psychologists who examined plaintiff 8 and 10 years before the relevant period. He claims that both psychologists diagnosed mental retardation. That is not true. Both psychologists found she had under 70 IQ scores, but Dr. Henry said because she had adequate functioning, he could not substantiate a diagnosis of mental retardation despite her problems in reading, writing, and arithmetic, and despite her low IQ scores. To meet Listing 1205 for mental retardation, before you get to any of the subparagraphs of 1205, including 1205C, you must establish the diagnostic criteria. That's 2. 1 is the subaverage intellectual functioning, and 2 is the deficits in adaptive functioning. This plaintiff raised 2 children, has lived independently. Subsequent to her psychological evaluations, she did in fact work. She was sufficiently able to get around to get to her job. She was sufficiently able to perform whatever minimal reading and writing requirements were required of her job. And Dr. Henry specifically said her functioning was so adequate that he could not substantiate a diagnosis of mental retardation. The fact that Dr. Martin diagnosed mental retardation, he most likely based it solely on her IQ scores. That is not sufficient to meet listing 1205 in this court has so found. Plaintiff refers repeatedly to what plaintiff's counsel characterizes as 27 deficits in adaptive functioning. No psychologist, no medical evidence in the record has characterized any of plaintiff's functioning as deficits, except everyone, including the ALJ, agrees that she has problems in reading, writing, and arithmetic, and he so restricted her in his RFC assessment. It's also important to realize that this plaintiff has pegged her onset of disability to when she last stopped working full-time. She has repeatedly said that she stopped working due to pain. There was no assertion on her part that she stopped working due to any intellectual problems or any problems of mental retardation. As for plaintiff's comments about credibility, he also claims the ALJ selected various pieces of evidence, but it is plaintiff who is selecting the evidence here. The plaintiff mainly summarizes her own allegations, but in this record, each and every single physician found that she had normal findings. They would repeatedly discuss her complaints, but they also said she tends to exaggerate her or that she exhibits profound restrictions, but when they apply standard distraction techniques, suddenly she was able to have full range of motion. One of her physicians said he suspected an element of malingering. Another physician, Dr. McLemore, said that her complaints were, in essence, out of proportion to the record. The ALJ here properly considered the allegations. Not only did he consider medical factors, he considered non-medical factors, including physician opinions that she could perform light work. None of the physicians gave any opinion that were inconsistent with the residual functional capacity determination of the ALJ. Finally, plaintiff's assertions on past relevant work are incorrect. Substantial evidence does support the ALJ's finding. He properly followed the Social Security rulings. He made a finding of fact regarding her RFC. He made a finding of fact as to the requirements of her past work based on the Dictionary of Occupational Titles. And he made a finding, and he compared her RFC to the demands of her past work and properly found she was perfectly capable of performing the work she had been doing all along. For these reasons, we ask this court to affirm the commissioner's decision.
Thank you, Ms. Moore. You have 3 minutes, Mr. Mulvaney.
Thank you, Your Honor. I did not say Dr. Henry diagnosed her with mild mental retardation. I said Dr. Henry's examination said the scores showed she was functioning in the area of mild mental retardation. He said, well, I'm not going to diagnose it because of her apparent high level of functioning, but I don't know what he's basing that on, because she couldn't go to the grocery store by herself. She couldn't read street signs to get to and from work. He said, well, she's got a driver's license. Well, in fact, she didn't have a driver's license. He didn't even look at it to see what it was. It was a state ID card. She didn't know the difference. This came out under oath at the hearing that her boyfriend helped her get a state ID card, not a driver's license. So Dr. Henry's evaluation was just wrong on the facts. It's interesting. Both Dr. Henry and Dr. Martin came up with an identical verbal IQ score of 64. And their other scores are very, very close together. So it seems to me they corroborate each other. She said, well, raised two kids, lived independently, she worked. This means high level of functioning. Well, she was able to raise two kids only with the assistance of her mother and her boyfriend, apparently the father of one of the children. helped her, certainly took her to the grocery store, selected all the food for her and the kids. I don't see how that's independent. He managed all the money. She couldn't count. She couldn't get the right change back. That's not independent. She did, therefore did not live independently. She said, well, she worked, but she didn't work successfully. She got fired from all of her jobs. And the job specifically the judge said she could do, hotel maid, she got fired from several of those because she couldn't do the work. Now, she's alleging that Dr. Martin based his diagnosis of mild mental retardation only on her IQ. But, in fact, he pointed out 15 deficits in adaptive functioning, which went into his estimate of her diagnosis. No deficits in adaptive functioning stated by the doctors. Well, they didn't use the magic terms that Social Security focuses on, but certainly they produced evidence. And when you take that evidence and you compare it to the definitions under the DSM-4 or any other standard defining mental retardation, those constitute deficits in adaptive functioning in two or more areas listed in the DSM-4. Evidence doesn't have to come in just in terms of what the doctors say. You have to look at the whole record and all of the evidence, which the ALJ refused to do. Now, she said, well, she didn't stop working due to her mental retardation. She stopped because of pain. In fact, she didn't stop working. She got fired. She tried to work. She had two little kids. She's trying to do the best she can do. But she'd go out there and she'd work, and then they'd fire her because she couldn't get the work done. She says, well, this is all based on the claimant's own exaggerated functioning. And I pointed out in my principal brief and reply brief how the defendant's, the commissioner's brief, very selectively argues the evidence. They will pick and choose among the various evidence, like this malingering deal, but ignore the evidence, the remaining evidence in that particular evaluation, which either is contrary to their contention or does explain it in such a way that shows she's not malingering. I don't think she's smart enough to malinger. I think she's a lady who tries to do the very best she can, but she's not functional at all at the level of being able to sustain substantial gainful activity. In fact, Dr. Martin, who performed this evaluation for Indiana Vocational Rehabilitation, said the best she can do is sheltered work. The best she can do is work with a job coach. Now, under Social Security ruling 82-62, that does not constitute substantial gainful activity and requires a finding of disability. 96-9 was also violated.
We have a point in your time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. Excuse me, counsel? Sure. Our thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.